You know, Christmas truly is a wonderful time of the year, but if truth be told, don't you find it gets a little hectic trying to get everything done? Sometimes it gets the better of us, and this year that happened to me. The other night I was wrapping up the last of the grandkids' presents, presents for Barbara, trying to get everything kind of done, and realized that there's something that I enjoy doing I'd not gotten to for about 3 weeks and had a little break, so I thought I would do it. What I like to do is to try to keep abreast of what's going on in the world, going on with the news. And for decades, I've tried to follow Time Magazine, Newsweek, the Person of the Year, those kinds of stories. And to get to the end of the year, they tend to kind of summarize. So I decided it was a good idea that I would do that until I did it. And then I suddenly decided that's not the best idea in the world, because what it reminded me is what a scary world we live in. I don't care what kind of news media you look at, whether it's on the TV or the internet or print media, it seems like that the news is a litany of kind of what's wrong with the world, of all the crises we face, whether it's that ISIS deal or global warming or overpopulation or violence, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. There's a lot of darkness in our world, and we know that. There are things out there that are just unsettling. Sometimes they're even frightening to us. And it's not all just out there. If you and I are honest, and if we look in our own lives, not everything is the way we would want it to be. Not everything is perfect. There are some things in our own lives that can be unsettling, and sometimes some things in our lives that can be frightening. Now, it's in the midst of this, the midst of the world that you and I live in, the midst of the lives that we honestly can look at, that we find ourselves now in the season of Christmas, this wonderful season. We come into this beautiful chapel, surrounded by music, by images of Christmas. We have a message of joy, of hope, and of peace. And we hear these messages from the scriptures. For just a few moments, I would like for us to just listen to the Word of God. The message from Jeremiah is a promise. God says to God's people, I will fulfill my promise to you. And then it begins to map out a little bit what's included in that promise. A righteous branch, a leader, a king will come forth at some point. And this king, this leader, would execute true justice. Now, wouldn't that be refreshing to live in that world? We're also told that God's people will live in safety in a world that so often that does not seem to be the case, and that they will be saved and that they will be delivered. Now, what we may not know, and we might know it, is that this message of hope that comes from Jeremiah saying God's promises will be fulfilled just happened to come to Israel at what is most likely the darkest period in its 2,000-year history. Jeremiah lived through the destruction and the end of the nation of Judah. The nation has been destroyed. The king is no more. Jerusalem is in ruins. The temple is gone. Many people have lost their lives, and many of the others have now been carted away into exile into a foreign land. And yet it's precisely in this moment, in this period of darkness, that this word of hope comes to God's people. I will fulfill my promise to you. And that even includes a Davidic kingly figure, even though you have no king at this point. Then we turn to the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah did not live at the time that Jeremiah lived. He lived at an entirely different time. Actually, he lived in an entirely different century. And yet, the message that we get from Isaiah would fit into Jeremiah's world, both the setting and the message of hope, because it would fit in any age. He talks about people who experience darkness in their lives, people who know what darkness is because they walk in it. And he says that those people, this is God speaking through Isaiah, the people who sit in darkness will see a light. Actually, they'll see a great light. And then he says it again. Those who live in a world of great darkness, great despair, on them light will shine. And then Isaiah explains, the reason that this is such good news is because a child is about to be born. A son will be given to us. And somehow, in that child, in Isaiah's time, the promises of God will be fulfilled and light will shine into the darkness. And then as it was shared with you a few moments ago, we turn to the very, very familiar story, the Christmas story in Luke. The story is set at night. So again, we find ourselves literally in a physical setting of darkness. We also find ourselves with a story being narrated in a world in which there's other kinds of darkness. This is the first century. The Jewish nation is occupied by Rome. They are an oppressed people. They're being taxed to the very edge of their existence. And so it's a dark time for them in many, many different ways. And yet, here too, as Luke begins to narrate the story that we're so familiar with, Luke sets it in terms of darkness and of light and speaks about the coming of a child. And then Luke narrates the story that we just know so well about Joseph and Mary, about their traveling down to Bethlehem. No room in the inn, and the child being born and being laid in a manger. And then Luke does something very interesting. He sort of pans back from that scene, the wonderful scene of the creche, the birth scene, and he pans over to the side, perhaps a mile or two away. The scene now shifts out into the hinterlands, into the hills, with shepherds who are biding their flocks by night. And we're told, with these shepherds, suddenly, the glory of the Lord shines around them, and images of light break through, and an angel appears. And this is the angel's message. Don't be afraid. It's probably the hardest thing they had to pull off that day. I will bring you good news of great joy to all people. For to you this day, is born in Bethlehem, in the city of David, a Savior, who is that Messiah King that had been talked about, who is the Lord. And with those words, the story of light and of hope and of joy, the story that we know as the story of Jesus, begins. And so you and I gather here, Christmas Eve, in this beautiful setting, to remember that story, to celebrate that story, and to claim the power of that story for our lives. At the center of that story stands a promise, because that is literally what the Christmas message is about. A promise that God's love and God's power are stronger than the darkness. There's no promise that darkness doesn't exist. There's no promise that you and I will not have to struggle with darkness, because that's just not realistic. The promise is that God's power is stronger than the darkness and will overcome the darkness and will shine into the darkness. And whatever form that darkness might take for you and for me, whether it's things out there in the scary world or whether it's things in our own lives that you and I struggle with. And so in a few minutes, at the conclusion of this service, after we have communion and after we light the candles, we're going to be doing an act that is very simple yet very profound. We're going to sit in the darkness. It will not be quite dark because it's in the middle of the afternoon. But symbolically, you will have a candle and you will receive the light from the Christ candle. And then you will hand that light on, passing it to someone else. And then as we sing the last verse of Silent Night, you will be asked to simply raise that candle high as an act of defiance. Defiance against the dark, as you and I claim the power and the symbolism of everything this season embodies. A time of joy, a time of hope, a time of good news, a time when we celebrate that God breaks into our world, enters into our world in the Christ child. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.